So we're clearly at another major crossroad in this pandemic. And to get a sense of what it means for the weeks, months and years ahead, I spoke earlier to Peter Collignon, a professor of infectious diseases at the Australian National University Medical School.
Well, I think we're at quite a significant turning point. You know, we've got virus that's here that's not going to go away and it's going to continue to circulate. You know, we're never going to get to zero COVID in the near future. And even elimination, which is effectively zero COVID, that's not likely for many years. So we're going to have to come to terms with this. Vaccines are highly effective at stopping you dying and getting serious illness, putting you into hospital. And now it's even better because, if anything, the Omicron variant appears to cause less serious disease. So we're in a much better position than a year ago from an individual infection getting any of us. But we still need to do what we can to make sure we just don't go, you know, open slather, so to speak, and not worry about it all. We still need to make efforts to decrease the spread of the virus, particularly from those who are infected. We need them, when they've got symptoms, to not be near people when they've got those symptoms. Their close contacts, meaning family members or people they've been with for long periods of time, we also need to keep them away from others till we know they haven't got infection. But that's quite different to, you know, having all casual contacts, for instance, not being able to do something for 14 days. And we need to be better with our testing system, because we need to make sure the symptomatic people are at the front of the queue, those in high risk at the front of the queue, and we don't have literally thousands of people in the queue that are really low risk with no symptoms and are there because of really some rule rather than because they're a high probability of having the infection.
Because, yes, as you say, we've been seeing these huge problems with testing, and not just the long queues, but results taking 5 or 6 days to come back, which largely defeats the purpose. But you think testing is still a critical element of our plan?
Yeah, we still need PCR testing. We need that testing for people with symptoms, because we want to know who really has COVID, both because of the public health implications of decreasing the chance of them giving it to others because they need to keep their distance and be isolated. But also, if you've got COVID, we've got therapy for that. And the sooner we know it, the better. So, and particularly as new drugs are even coming out. So testing by PCR, which is a gold standard, is here for the foreseeable future, you know, years to come. But what we don't want is a whole lot of people on the same queue slowing up those people getting tested, because they're at so low risk that, you know, we've still got a zero COVID mentality, for instance. So we need to change our mindset so that we better risk assess who should be getting tested, who maybe should instead have a rapid antigen test or no test at all, and make sure for those that really need the PCR test, they can get it in a timely fashion and get their result back within 24 hours.
I don't want to get bogged down in terminology, but there's a lot of focus on when the pandemic will shift to being endemic. Do you think we're there or close?
Effectively, we've got an endemic now on the east coast of Australia, and that actually means we've got it for years to come. But what we still have to do is make sure we protect those most vulnerable and do the best we can to decrease the transmission, because that helps all of us. But by the same token, we've got to accept we're not going to be able to stop this. So we've got to have reasonable restrictions in place for what is now the outcome for society as a whole. And we've got to remember it is much, much better than a year ago.
What's your assessment of our hospital capacity?
Well, the capacity should be quite reasonable. My understanding in New South Wales is a potential for 2,000, you know, ICU beds, and I think there's 50 or 60 people in ICU at the moment with this, and that'll probably increase. But it's already...
But what about staff? I mean, staff is a major factor of that. It's not just the beds and the equipment, is it?
No, staffing is a major issue, and that's why you just can't buy 5,000 ventilators and say, hey, problem solved. You need trained people. But equally, last winter, we had, you know, lots of people in New South Wales hospitals, for instance, and many more than now, and many more that's likely, I think, over the next few months, and the system coped. What we have to also, though, make sure is that we don't have rules in place that mean a lot of our medical staff and nursing staff are sent home for a week or two, even though their risk of infection is low, and because they're vaccinated. So we need to be also reasonable, again, with who we call a close contact.
That's Professor Peter Collignon from the Australian National University speaking to us earlier.